This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off. All right, I want you to imagine something before we get into all these things. I want you to imagine this. You've been locked up. You're thrown in prison. It sucks, right? It sucks. And you got a wife, and you love her, and she loves you. And the prison warden decides he wants you to break up with your wife. He wants to break up the marriage. And so whatever letters you send her, whatever letters she sends you, he gets his hands on them, and he edits them to make you look as bad as possible or make her look as bad as possible before he passes them along. How long do you think that marriage could survive? It's brutal. It's horrific to think about, right? We have to start accepting that that's where we are right now in the United States of America with the media. How can you find truth out there when every single thing is either outright lied about or the truth is twisted? Or they omit key parts of the story to push only what they care about? How can anybody, not just Donald Trump, you, me, everybody, how can anybody overcome that? It's time to accept the reality here. There are large, large portions of this society who want us to tear each other apart, whether it be because of race, gender, whatever the case. And here's the problem. They're the warden. They're the ones controlling everything that comes in, everything that goes out. Even if there is a message of unity from anybody, it's squashed almost immediately. Did you see the Trump tribute video? It was wonderful. Here it is.
We will stand with the family of George Floyd, with the peaceful protesters, and with every law-abiding citizen who wants decency, civility, safety, and security. But what we are now seeing on the streets of our cities has nothing to do with justice or with peace. The memory of George Floyd is being dishonored by rioters, looters, and anarchists. The violence and vandalism is being led by Antifa and other radical left-wing groups who are terrorizing the innocent, destroying jobs.
This for no reason.
The mobs are devastating the life's work of good people and destroying their dreams.
We worked so hard to get here. So hard.
It harms those who have the least. We cannot and must not allow a small group of criminals and vandals to wreck our cities and lay waste to our communities. We must defend the rights of every citizen to live without violence, prejudice, or fear. Healing, not hatred, justice, not chaos, are the mission at hand.
I only played you a portion of that. Was that not wonderful? Was that not a wonderful message of healing from the President of the United States of America? It was, right? Yeah, it got removed offline immediately. Twitter removes it. Quote, this media has been disabled in response to a report by the copyright owner. As soon as a message of healing goes out, it's censored. Donald Trump, I may not agree with everything Donald Trump does. He's put out a message of healing consistently since these riots started. Here he is.
Equal justice under the law must mean that every American receives equal treatment in every encounter with law enforcement, regardless of race, color, gender, or creed. They have to receive fair treatment from law enforcement. They have to receive it. We all saw what happened last week. We can't let that happen. Hopefully, George is looking down right now and saying, this is a great thing that's happening for our country. This is a great day for him. It's a great day for everybody. This is a great day for everybody. This is a great, great day in terms of equality. It's really what our Constitution requires, and it's what our country is all about.
What's wrong with that? Is that not a good message? Joe Biden didn't think so, though.
For the president to try to put any other words in the mouths of George Floyd, I frankly think is despicable. And the fact that he did so on the day when black unemployment rose, Hispanic unemployment rose, black youth unemployment skyrocketed, tells you everything you need to know about this man and what he really cares about.
When's the last time you heard a unifying message from a Democrat? Tell me, is that all that party has become now? You're a victim, and you're a victim, and you should hate them, and you should hate them. That's all I hear. And of course, the media. Here's Andrea Mitchell and Republican Michael Steele.
Michael Steele, that seemed to me a little tone deaf.
It's not only tone deaf, it's just it's borderline blasphemous in terms of, in light of what happened to Mr. Floyd. I doubt George Floyd is in heaven looking down going, oh, gee, great jobs report. Are you kidding me? It just, again, it just speaks to just how out of step this man is.
Atlanta mayor had something to say, too.
What was your reaction to that?
Disgusted. Simply disgusted. This president is incapable of showing any type of empathy. He always gets it wrong, time and time again. And I think we've got to stop expecting any more from him.
How could he get it right? You all saw that wonderful video in the beginning, put out right away, censored right away. How could he get it right? When he does the right thing, it's removed. He says a bunch of right things. They take a 30-second clip and make him look bad. I'm not saying Trump is the second coming of Christ, but what chance does he or anyone else have to get it right again when the media warden is controlling and editing the letters? What chance does he have? What chance do any of us have? It's a dire situation. The media tried to tell you that these were peaceful protests in the beginning. You remember that? And A.G. Barr, to his credit, said, no.
They were not peaceful protesters, and that's one of the big lies that the media seems to be perpetuating.
Three of my CBS colleagues were there. We talked to them. They did not hear warnings. They did not see
there were three warnings. There were three warnings
anything.
Given. But let's get back to why we took that action. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, okay, there were violent riots at Lafayette Park, where the park police were under constant attack at the behind their bike rack fences. They were battling over the fences. They were trying to get entry. They were throwing bricks and an inflammable liquid at the police. One-fifth of, there have been 750 officers hurt in the last week. One-fifth of those have been in Washington, D.C. Most of those have been federal officers at Lafayette Park.
And you didn't hear about most of that, did you? That's the most amazing thing. You didn't hear about it. Or if you did, you got a little snippet of it off one of the social media sites where you love. That's what we're stuck with now. And we're stuck with rhetoric like this from that idiot Don Lemon.
Open your eyes, America. Open your eyes. We are teetering on a dictatorship. We are this is chaos. Has the president, I'm listening, is the president declaring war on Americans? What is happening here? He's saying he wants to protect peaceful protesters at the same time, sending law enforcement and military into the streets to push peaceful protesters back, to be aggressive with peaceful protesters. He is doing the exact opposite of what he said in that speech. I think the president is playing a very, very dangerous game here.
A dictatorship? What? CNN, they had their own thoughts on the looting.
I know people see violence and think that people are just taking advantage of the situation, and there may be some people who are. I don't know that every single person is doing this born out of pain, but I can tell you many people are. We've seen it. They don't know what to do with that emotion, so their response, especially young folks, is to lash out. And one of the young folks, we talked to him on your show. You had him on your show. A young man who is from Minneapolis who said, do you see all this damage here? You don't listen to us when we speak, so you listen to us now, don't you? So acting out gets attention. And they know that because the other way hasn't gotten them the attention. It hasn't done anything. It hasn't changed anything.
I oftentimes loot Target whenever I'm upset too. Definitely the way to go. Look, we have to accept that they control all the avenues of communication right now unless you are proactive seeking out other things. Download the First app. Watch this channel. Make sure you're listening to the right radio shows. Make sure you're watching what your children consume. I'm going to wrap up this thing by just saying this. The days of putting your kids in front of the news at night, you know, the major news networks, oh, it's fine, I'm just going to make dinner, let me turn on the nightly news. Those days are gone. Stop doing that. You're going to mess them up, and you're going to wonder why. Stop doing that. All of that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, there's plenty to stress out. There's plenty to stress about out there. You lay down at night, and what happens? Your mind just starts racing a mile a minute. You're thinking about the spouse. You're thinking about the kids. You're thinking about your job, if you even still have one. You're thinking about the state of America. You're thinking about how wonderful I'm Right was tonight. I know you are. But the point is, your mind can't turn off, and sooner or later, you're laying there staring at the clock, and it's 2 a.m., and you think, this sucks. I'm going to be miserable tomorrow. You know you don't have to do that all anymore, right? You can get an Ebb Sleep. It's a wearable device. It calms those thoughts down, knocking you out without having to take a bunch of sleeping pills. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Use the promo code Jesse at checkout. Get $25 off. We'll be back. Joining me now, as you Bachelor fans will recognize, Gillian Anderson, former Bachelor contestant, current ambassador for Turning Point USA and the Falkirk Center. Gillian, you're the perfect person to ask this question to. Hollywood, the media.
I hope.
How did the leftists? What's that?
I said, I hope it's not, will you accept this rose? Because of that intro.
You know what? Actually, That would be a probably easier question to answer than the one I'm about to ask you. How did they take over all of it? I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure you see it every day. And I could understand if they had 60% of it, 70% of it. But when it comes to Hollywood entertainment, they have 100. How?
I mean, I think that, I mean, you're talking about total media, right? How they're taking over with all these movements, these cultural movements. Well, it's funny. I think I was reading this article by Emily Jasinski, and she said it really best. Like, from the Black Lives Matter movement to Pride Month, corporate America is enriching itself through the appropriation of anti-capitalist cultural leftism. And these people running these major companies and corporations, they're capitalists. They're making money off the capitalist, you know, movement. But companies like Gucci and Nike, who, mind you, were looted last week and lost their products, are the same companies who are making money off of this cultural movement. They're posting and they're sharing. We're with you. I think they're genuinely with this movement, but they're also scared to not make money if they don't support it, whereas they're supporting a movement that supports anti-capitalism. It doesn't really make sense. And I think with these celebrities and all these elites out in Hollywood who made their wealth off the capitalist system seems entirely unaware that things like movements like Black Lives Matter, the organization, not the issue, they're all anti-capitalists. And they wouldn't have their careers and the money they have if we stopped being capitalist or nation. It's absolutely nuts. I don't think they have a clue.
I'm glad you brought up the celebrities, by the way, because we saw during the heat of the protests, during the height of it, when people were dying, things were burning, we saw celebrities like Chrissy Teigen, Steve Carell, which broke my heart, Seth Rogen and others volunteering $100,000 apiece in bail money. And look, it's one thing to say you're voting for Hillary Clinton. When you openly admit that you're shelling out huge chunks of cash to bail out people burning down American cities, you're flat out anti-American. How did that come about?
Again, I think sometimes their heart's in the right place. I don't think they're fully informed of what they're putting their money towards. I mean, peaceful protesters aren't the ones getting arrested. It's the ones that are throwing bricks at horses. The ones that are, if you didn't see that picture, it's really gross. It's the ones that are looting stores, the ones that are shooting other people. They're the dangerous ones, and they're going into jail and getting bailed out by these celebrities. Mind you, are sitting in their mansions with all of their private security. They don't have to worry about the police. They don't have to worry about any of this. The thing is, they're not helping the small business owner who might not have insurance, who put all of his life savings. We all saw that viral video, that firefighter who owned that restaurant and bar, and it got burned to the ground. Why don't we help those people? Why don't these celebrities take their money, and if they really cared about this cause, they could put money to nonprofits that are trying to feed children and individuals who don't have access to grocery stores because it was destroyed in a fire, like in Minneapolis. We could be helping, you know, fund rebuilding businesses the riots destroyed. They could, I don't know, they could take their money and put it in so many other useful ways to help the inner city communities that are most affected by this racial tension.
You live in D.C. D.C. is, I'm not making this up, it's something like 92% Democrat. As somebody who lives there, most people don't live there, can you tell, like when you walk around, can you tell this is a blue, blue place, or does it just seem like any other big city?
I mean, I guess with the crowd I'm around, we don't have a lot of, you know, blue friends. Like, I guess it's my work and what I do. I tend to surround myself by like-minded individuals, whether that be at church or at work. And so I think it just kind of plays into my friend group personally. But when I walk around, I don't see hard lines anywhere. I don't see hard racial lines. I don't see hard lines in division when it comes to our, like, people and their political affiliation. It's not until we implement these laws, these really strict laws that we have with masks and shutting down businesses, you start seeing the divides more clearly. You know, I think there's a lot of hard lines being drawn in the sand from all of the laws being laid down from COVID, from all the new, like, movement, the cultural movement, you have to do this or act like that. I think that's when you start seeing divides. You start seeing these symbolisms that people are taking when they're freaking out about having to wear a mask or not wearing a mask, freaking out about opening their businesses or not opening their businesses. I now see people's more political division than I ever have. But before this, not at all. I didn't think and look at you and think that you were a color, that you were anything like this. I wasn't thinking about it. Now I'm so clearly thinking about it because it keeps getting mentioned.
Did you save any of the roses you got on The Bachelor?
I tried to. They got molded. I put them in a bag. They mold before I went home.
Do they not teach you city people how to dry out flowers and save flowers?
I mean, we're living out of suitcases, so we're traveling a lot, and I don't know. It doesn't matter. Although the day I got kicked out, this was really fun. We stayed, and I think it might be one of the most expensive hotel rooms in all of America in San Francisco. I got kicked out, don't ever watch the episode because I haven't even watched the whole thing yet. Woof. But after that, there was a whole refrigerator full of roses. They bring a bunch to my date at a time. And they were all, if you notice, the bachelor roses, I have roses here. They'll go ahead and they'll pick off all of these. And they're these perfect little roses. And they have a bunch on standby. So there was six of them. And those are the ones I stole, not actually ones I ever received because I got kicked off that day. But I try to take those home.
Do you still feel the sting of that rejection?
Sometimes. Huh?
Do you still feel the sting of that rejection in that day?
I don't know, because what I was about to say is sometimes losing is winning.
Okay.
But
all right,
I honestly,
enough. All right.
I didn't really like him the whole time, but it's fine.
Cops in America. Jillian, I understand questioning law enforcement. Shoot, I've always questioned law enforcement. People in authority should always be questioned. But I feel like the entire nation, huge parts of the country, have just decided in the past week and a half, that cops are the problem in our society. I can have disagreements with law enforcement, disagreements with laws and the way they're enforced, without ever losing my mind in a way that I feel like cops are the real issue we face.
I mean, I think there's a lot to be said about people being scared of cops, and that needs to be addressed. But I can only speak for all the good that I've seen cops do. And like them or not, they're out there every day risking their lives for us. And I just want to say this, if someone breaks into my house and they run and try to chase me down with a knife, I'm going to go ahead and call a cop to save me, not wait an hour for a social worker to show up. But that's just me. But I'm glad you brought up cops, because can I tell you, when I was walking up and down D.C. on Sunday night, there was a bunch of Hummers and military and guards, army guards out there, or whatever you call army people, because we don't care about the army. I'm just kidding. We love them. But I see all these officials, and they're all mixed races. They're largely really not white here in D.C. And it's so funny. We're pushing. These people are there guarding and protecting us and protecting these business owners against a movement that's hurting their own cause a little bit. And so it's really kind of sweet and special to see, but I respect cops. I'm so thankful for cops. I'm glad we have them. I think, you know, there should possibly be reform done. I don't like that people are scared of them or afraid of them. Of course, some people have deep wounds because they were, you know, negatively hurt by them, but largely I think that they're great. There's a lot of really, really good cops out there. And so I hope that Trump's new reform that he puts out, it changes and adjusts some things, but I'm fully supporting those guys who are going to protect me.
Does it make you feel less safe to have the Army instead of the Marines there?
100%, because the fruit of the proud.
Absolutely. Jillian Anderson, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. All right. We have more. Hang on. Joining me now, against my better judgment, is the editor-in-chief of the National Pulse, Englishman Raheem Kassam. Raheem, I need you to walk me through something that has completely weirded me out. Australia, England, all these places, Western nations who are not the United States of America, don't have a great kinship with Floyd. Are now, they're throwing stuff at their cops, they're breaking things. It's absolute anarchy in London. Why?
Yeah, I was actually just saying this earlier on in the week to a friend of mine, is that, I'm trying to rack my brain to understand what somebody from Streatham in South London has in common with anybody in Minneapolis or anywhere else in the United States. And the only thing I can come up with, Jesse, is that it's basically your fault because you exported McDonald's and Friends and Sex and the City so heavily abroad that honestly, these people who grew up in metropolitan areas in the United Kingdom, they think of themselves as like Chandler Bing and Carrie Bradshaw and they, you know, double Big Mac Whoppers with cheese or whatever it is. And so there is this sort of cultural affinity that you have, which is just completely false. It's a false brotherhood between these people. They think in almost American terms, even though if they went to visit anywhere near where you lived or anywhere near where I spent last weekend in Antietam, they would have nothing in common with Americans from those places. They think America is basically Midtown Manhattan across the whole thing. And so they have this weird, like, oh yeah, cool, we're one of those guys mentality. And it's absolutely sickening. I mean, I grew up in West London in a neighborhood that was predominantly white, but that was changing. And down the road from me, I had immigrant-dominated neighborhoods, and people can go and look these up, like Southall and Hanwell and Acton. And immigrants came from all over the world there. You had Indians and Pakistanis and Bengalis and Polish. And in South London, you have a lot of black people there as well. And London worked like that. Now they're trying to divide the city into these little pockets where, like, okay, the Jews live in the north and the blacks live in the south and the Indians live in the west. And it is the thing that leftism does, is it pretends to unite people, actually it divides people. And that, I think, is why you see this affinity between Black Lives Matter in the US and Black Lives Matter in the UK, which, by the way, is actually not Black Lives Matter. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Socialist Worker Party, which is a political party in London.
Okay, let's get a couple things straight here. Only one of us knew the actual characters' names on Friends. That's one. Two, there's no such thing as a double Big Mac Whopper at McDonald's. The Whopper is Burger King, which is foul. The Big Mac at McDonald's is fantastic. That's two. Three, I need you to lay out what you just said when it comes to Black Lives Matter, because I have been beating my head against the wall explaining this on my shows over the past week. People see the name, which is very clever, by the way, and they think you have to support Black Lives Matter. Otherwise, you don't want black people to live? When in actuality, Black Lives Matter is no different than the feminist movement, than the LGBT mob anymore. It's just another left-wing group that has figured out a way to advance left-wing policy.
This is one of the big cons of our time, is that we're being led to believe, and the media gaslights us into believing, that the radical feminist movement has different people than the Black Lives Matter movement has different people from the LGBT rights movement. No. These are all the same people from all the same universities. They just put on a different shirt for the day and put on a different hat for the day, and they go out and protest under a different banner. Now, in the UK, they're not as sophisticated at hiding it. On the bottom of Black Lives Matter placards, Black Lives Matter placards in the United Kingdom, it says Socialist Worker Party. And they have the same placards when there's LGBT rights thing or the feminist thing. They have Socialist Worker Party underneath it. So it's almost like the Socialist Worker movement in the United Kingdom, which is tiny, it's pathetically small, it has branded in the most corporate and capitalistic way you could possibly imagine. Like the McDonald's arches, it brands every single protest with its logo. And so don't tell me F capitalism. These guys are the biggest ownership organization, and they like to own black people. They like to own black issues. But in reality, all they're doing is using them.
Yeah, don't. F capitalism. Sincerely, Socialist Party, LLC. Now,
yeah,
the American views on race. I'm blown away at how much of this narrative is not focusing on the fact every one of these police brutality things and every one of these places where they're rioting and they're looting and they're burning down things, Every single one of them, each and every one, without exception, is completely controlled by the Democratic Party, has been controlled by the Democratic Party for decades, and somehow, Raheem, you're going to have to explain it to me. I'm looking at all the headlines. Nobody addresses that. This is all an indictment of Trump. We don't have enough National Guard. We don't have enough police. We have city councilmen and mayors right there in Minneapolis if you have a problem with the police department.
Well, hold on. I mean, let's go even further back through this dumpster fire of a year. Where did most people suffer and die from the coronavirus? It was in Democrat-run states because the Democrat-run governors were shoving old people into nursing homes and with coronavirus, they were infecting and killing each other. You've got the same thing taking place in terms of crime rates and in terms of how black people are integrated into the United States of America. It's in Democrat states. And think about this. Boris Johnson is the Conservative Party Prime Minister, a very liberal one at that, by the way, a Conservative Party Prime Minister in the United Kingdom, who's being told that he is now racist and he is now the problem. Because why? Because George Floyd died in Trump's America. But it wasn't in Trump's America. It was in the Democrat-run Minnesota. And all of these things, here's what they do. They gaslight us to the extent by which we're exhausted and we can't be bothered to fight back against it because we think it's so obvious. Well, guess what? It's actually not obvious when the media is shoving it down people's throats every day of the week, that, oh, this is Trump's fault, or, oh, this is Boris Johnson's fault, and isn't this just a problem with capitalism? I am a man of ethnic persuasion. My parents were born, my grandparents, in fact, were born in India, and I'm proud to be a British citizen. I am proud to live and work in the United States. Now, we never dream of trying to tear down statues here. And my question is this, and of course I'll be called a racist and all sorts of things for it, but my question is this. You don't like the law of the land. You don't want law at all. You want to defund the police. You want somewhere that doesn't have statues of people, figures in history in those countries. Oh, and you complain that there was a brain drain because of slavery from your native countries that maybe your grandfather or great-great-grandfather came from. What's stopping you going back there and starting a business for yourself and starting to pump some wealth back into that country? And I'm not saying we should deport all these people, and I'm not saying they should all go back. I don't believe in that. But I believe that if you personally feel aggrieved at seeing a statue of Winston Churchill in Parliament Square because of something that he might have done to your great-grandfather, go and fix that problem.
Why does it seem like it's a self-hatred movement, Raheem? I mean, in America, it's no different in England. I mean, look, you're trashing a statue of Winston Churchill. You wouldn't have in England unless it was Winston Churchill. I mean, the guy arguably contributed more to the existence of modern-day England than anybody else. But we see the same thing here. They're trashing Thomas Jefferson. It seems like a movement of self-loathing. Am I wrong?
Well, it's more of a, yeah, I mean, self-loathing is one way to put it. I think that's even a little bit more sophisticated than these people are. I think, firstly, we've got a seriously low IQ issue going on here on the political left. They've never had to learn anything outside their comfort zones. That's what our schools are doing with the 1619 Project and the universities have been doing since the 50s. You've also got the nihilism problem. You've got a lack of God. You've got a lack of king and a lack of country being taught in schools. And so there's this nihilistic, it's not even a self-loathing, it's I don't even want to exist. There should be a gaping big black hole where the earth is, and only then would racial equality reach the 100% that we're struggling to get if all humans refuse to exist or didn't exist in the first place. And that's what this comes down to for me. It's those who value the gift of life versus those who don't see a point in why human beings exist at all. And I'm afraid that we may be at an insurmountable point with this. We may have to, you know, Western civilization may have to tear itself apart before it can build itself back up.
Have you felt, you know, as long as you've been here, have you felt the longer you're in America, the better you get at speaking our language?
I came to America for the first time alone as a grown man. Well, I never really grew up, but I came as a 23-year-old, and I remember stepping off the plane at Dulles International Airport and looking out on a sea of American flags. And nowhere else in the world had something like this. And I just thought, oh my goodness, you walk outside the airport and there are like 10 or 11 American flags just in your eye line. And I went downtown, even in Washington, D.C., and there was this great big American flag that used to hang from a building in Connecticut Avenue. And I thought to myself, whoa, this is amazing. This is phenomenal. A country loves itself so much and takes so much pride in itself. And then slowly but surely over the last 10 years, you've seen that get whittled away. And I've talked about this before. Now, if you walk down Connecticut Avenue, it's LGBT flags, it's BLM signs, there's all sorts of other things, and there's just not as many American flags anymore. So while I have learned to talk what I think is the American talk, it feels like America has forgotten to talk the American talk. And for people like me who looked across the Atlantic and went, wow, I want to be a part of that because that is absolutely amazing and cool and phenomenal, I'm now living the demise, and it's so, like, it's tear jerkingly sad, Jesse.
Raheem Kassam, National Pulse. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, we got more. Hang on. Joining me now, host of This Is My Show with Drew Berquist. Drew Berquist. Drew, does it make you feel bad when you come on my show and you wear this fancy jacket like you're wearing, and then the TV comes on and you see that mine is so superior to yours?
It always does. Yeah, I just know I can't match you. Can't match the size of the jacket, the style of the jacket. It's a losing proposition every time.
It is. It sucks. I mean, and look, I feel bad for you, but we'll get through this somehow. Now, Drew, how much of what we see in this country is media caused? And I mean directly caused. We know the media sucks. That's not news. We know they're left wing. We know they intentionally make everything worse. How big of a problem is it? Because I have to be honest, I vacillate back and forth between thinking it's part of it and it's basically all of it. Where is it?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that it's a little bit of both too. I tend to think it's mostly all of it. But you know, with that comes it's a double-edged sword, right? Because you've got this media who's able to go out there and push whatever agenda and lies that they want to, which they're really, really good at, by the way. You got to give them credit where credit's due, I guess. But then the problem is you've got audiences out there, viewers, listeners, whatever, who A, aren't smart enough to cut through the lies and the BS and, you know, ascertain what's real and what's not. But it's also, the problem is you have those people who can't cut through it. And also, that's the only voice they're hearing. So it makes it really, really difficult. It's like, you know, I was saying this week, you cancel cops and live PD, some of the only opportunities to show the good in police. And now only thing that's left, the only voice that's left to talk about police is the mainstream media, who, of course, their narrative is cops are bad, they're awful people, whatever. So it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem, and the fact that there's really just one loud voice for their side makes it a huge obstacle for us.
It's a huge obstacle, and I guess this is what I've been trying to wrap my mind around, Drew, because I don't want to always just, you know, everything sucks and they suck and this sucks. I want to actually present some kind of solution or something. What can we do about it? Because everything you just said is 100% true. And look, even if somebody is, you know, intelligent and curious enough, most of the time people don't have time. They sit, look, they're going to sit down in a day. Yeah. Obviously, they're going to do your show. They're going to do my show. But they don't have time for anything else beyond that. In all seriousness, they don't have time to consume news all day. How do you cut through that when they sit down for 15 minutes a night? Oh, cops are racist. That sucks. I hope we eliminate them. And they turn off the television. How do we overcome that?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's not many ways to do it. I think, you know, obviously there's the some big wig or a group of big wigs could start something, market the you know, the heck out of it and make it super huge so it is in the face of everyone like they do. But that's a lot of work and that's a lot of money to do that, and it's a losing proposition for a long, long time just trying to get things out the gate and do it right. So you know, I think that there's ways that you can fight back systemically that way and start to build stuff, you know. But the sad thing is there really is, because of that same equation of time that you bring up, and the lack of options, there's not many ways to do it other than having some great divorce and just realize that we're never going to actually agree with each other. And maybe it's time to go, which we've talked about, different directions. There's not much room in between, which is so depressing. And it's like, no, there's got to be. But you sit around, you rack your brain, and you think of these options. And again, unless you have huge platforms come out of nowhere that rival, you know, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, you know, the big tech giants like Facebook and Twitter and some of these people who squelch other voices. Unless you have something that rises up there, there's not many other options other than just saying, we're going to go this way, you go this way, and you believe and say what you want, and our media will do the same over here. I don't know. It's impossible situation.
Drew, as it says in the good book, that there's a time for everything, and obviously this is one of those lower moments here in the country. And to what you just said, I get the feeling, especially when I read my emails and I get all the listener feedback out there and viewer feedback, that people feel hopeless right now. They feel completely besieged. They feel hopeless. They feel like every single pillar of power is against them. And to be honest, Drew, they don't necessarily feel like Donald Trump has really been nails for them, especially over the past few months. What do you say to them?
Well, I feel for them. I think that there's truth to that. I think that it's, you know, it's always tough. It's always easy to, you know, Monday morning quarterback things or look at it from a different, you know, your own perspective. But I feel for them. And I think what the Trump administration probably is right now is, hey, we want to win this election. You should, by all, you know, there's no reason that Biden shouldn't be defeated. I mean, he doesn't know what day it is. But all this stuff coming up, You show your strength too much, and you say, okay, hey, I'm rolling in, you know, with NRAPs and this, that, and the other, into the Chaz zone, which I think is hilarious because the only name that Chaz goes with is Will Ferrell's character in Wedding Crashers. But you roll into the Chaz and you take it back, but then all of a sudden you're this dictator who's you know usurping their power and going too strong. So I think they're trying to strike that balance, but in that, You there is reason to say, well, more has to be done. Like, these cities are burning. Like, we've let governors dictate COVID. We've let governors dictate this. At a certain point, you just need to drop the mic and say, I'm doing this. I'm in charge. If you don't like it and I end up losing in November, so be it. Stand on your principles. But these other people have proven they can't lead. I mean, some of them have lost their cities. So
are you okay with him sending in the military? Are you okay with him ordering a division of Marines into the Chaz right now to go break some heads and clear that thing up? My only question with it is, we have the Seattle mayor out there openly talking about, well, it's just a block party. I mean, they don't seem to care that much.
Yeah, it's just a block party. It's Lord of the Flies. Someone's out there with a conch, you know. Piggy, I don't know that I am. I'll say this, and this is a double standard. If I was allowed to go in with them, then I would say yes, like absolutely, 7 days out of seven, let's go in. But I think politically, it's a very dangerous move. I think it's a dangerous move because, I think what needs to happen with these situations, and it's the same thing with like Minneapolis calling for defunding the police, or Seattle setting up Chaz, which again is remarkable. That's the name they went with, but. You let them run the course. Like, let them if libs want to take over an entire city, I hate it to be Minneapolis because I still have season tickets to the Vikings. But like, if you want to take over an entire city, you want to take over a section of a city in Seattle, have at it, because you can see the writing on the wall. This is going to be a disaster. Like, you've got a bunch of it's like going to Afghanistan where you've got a bunch of little kids running around driving cars with guns. It's the same thing in Seattle right now. You've got these people who are entitled, know nothing about the world, trying to run a little section of a city or a autonomous, you know, whatever they're calling it, and it's going to fail. There's no way it can succeed. So I think the smart play politically is let it play out. You're going to catch some heat for letting it play out, but they will sink their own ship.
Drew Berquist, host of This Is My Show with Drew Berquist. Thank you, Drew. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Look, like I've told you before, there's plenty of bad news out there. And as I look at the landscape, there's going to be plenty of bad news out there for the foreseeable future. But allow me to leave you with this somber sounding, but actually happy news. You're going to die one day. I'm going to die one day. We're going to have memories. We're going to have, you know, stories to tell when we're laying there on our deathbed and our great-great-grandkids are like, "Dad, great-grandpa, what'd you do?" "Oh, I got to watch a bunch of dirty hippies take over Seattle one day." Hopefully you get to experience that too. So look, there's something to be said for having an interesting life. Take heart. We'll get you through it. We'll laugh a little along the way. Y'all be safe.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. "Hey, what would you like?" Usually my drink was, "Give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side." I finish the drink, the guys come in, I'm gonna go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, "Hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us."
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.